listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And download every episode and more at BasicallyASportsShow.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
How about that baseball game last night?
Not great. It's not greatest of all time.
No, of course not. Of course not.
You know, it wasn't the greatest baseball game of all time, like a lot of people are saying, but it's definitely probably one of the better games I've seen.
Congratulations, Kansas City Royals, on beating the Oakland A's and Ned Yost last night.
Because that's exactly what they did.
Oh my God. So, they won in spite of their manager taking out their starting pitcher, who was doing decently okay after 88 pitches in the sixth inning.
And then
the relief pitcher comes in and promptly gives up a three-run home run.
Which just landed a couple minutes ago, by the way.
Yeah.
If I heard that right, that kid had not pitched in relief since July. Now, I don't know a lot about the Royals, but from what I understand, they've got three guys at the back end of their bullpen that are pretty damn good.
Yeah.
They were so lucky to get through that game because Yost was just that was such a moronic move.
I just have to brag a bit because of my disdain for sabermetrics. How's that working out for you, Oakland? How many playoff flameouts is this now?
The Oakland A's under Billy Beane are 0-7 in winner-take-all games.
What kills me about this, and I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, that Cespedes trade for John Lester was made specifically for last night. That's the reason they wanted John Lester, and it got them absolutely nothing.
Right.
Not a thing. So now you've let your one of your better hitters, and that, oh my God, there are so many things I want to bitch about with the sabermetrics thing. I'm seeing, well, you know, the Cespedes trade wasn't that big a deal because look at his numbers, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I agree that on-base percentage is very important. I think that there are two major things in baseball that you want to do. You want to get on base, three things. You want to get on base, you want to score runs, you don't want to give away outs. After that, you can take the rest of that garbage and shove it up your ass. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think the thing with the Cespedes trade in particular and regarding last night, I mean, the A's still scored, what, seven runs?
Yeah.
Eight runs? Yeah, it was 9-8 Kansas City, I think.
Yeah, eight runs. Seven runs in nine innings. Not having Cespedes last night wasn't a problem. And even John Lester pitched okay. He didn't pitch lights out, 2.11 historic career ERA. The rest of the A's is what let him down. They just couldn't close it out.
But one thing about those eight runs that they scored, five of them were off of two home runs by Brandon Moss.
Yeah.
You take that. Now, again, you can't play what if and what it should have could have, but the fact remains that without him, they scored three runs last night.
It's not like they had an efficient run-generating machine.
Right. And on the other side, I mean, the Royals had plenty of times where the guy who ended up with the game-winning hit, Perez.
Oh, my God.
How many times did he have just awful-looking strikeouts with guys on base late in the game?
Was it in the eighth inning? Ninth? I think it was in the eighth where they had a chance to take the lead, and he swung it at three pitches that were not within the same zip code of the strike zone. It was
even the pitch that he hit the walk-off hit
wasn't
on
it, wasn't
was
it,
way
no.
outside.
Way
he
outside,
stretch
yeah.
and pulled that down the line.
Yeah.
Now, another thing I wanted to bring up about this game was, has any one game ever perfectly encapsulated a team season like this one did for the Oakland A's?
I just remember in July when Oakland was on top of everything. Mm-hmm. End of July, first place in all of Major League Baseball. They get Jeff Samardzija earlier in the month. They get John Lester. They're ramping up for the playoffs. This is the year Oakland goes for it. And, you know, despite these games being technically playoff games, I consider them play-in games. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, Oakland might as well have not even made the damn playoffs. Because, again, they didn't even clinch their spot in this game till the very last day of the season.
This is a team that, again, people, the sabermetrics people want to say that clutch doesn't matter, the intangibles don't matter, the clubhouse chemistry doesn't matter.
What they do. They clearly do.
Bullshit. Yeah. Because look at that team after Cespedes was traded. Okay, if it didn't matter, then explain to me what the hell happened.
Right, there were like 35 games over 500 at the end of July. The final 2 months of the season, they were, I think, 11 games under 500.
Yeah, they were awful. They were terrible.
I think they were 22-33 down the stretch.
Okay, yeah, that's my point. Okay, if sabermetrics can solve and explain everything that happens on a baseball field, then I want them to explain to me what happened there. Because either these guys didn't perform up to their computerized expectations at all. And what happened there? Because, you know, these numbers are so reliable, and everything's so predictable, then what the fuck happened?
And I think particularly in a game like that, you look at how the Royals just kept coming back and coming back. That's not something you can really explain by numbers.
No.
Exactly.
That's a team just hanging in there and sticking with it.
Exactly. That's not a stat you can point to. That's just them refusing to give up.
Yeah, and I'm not someone who thinks that all sabermetrics are complete nonsense, but there comes a point where I'm tired of people telling me that what I'm seeing on the field isn't what I'm seeing. What I see in this A's team is I saw a team that lost their cleanup hitter and played shitty baseball the rest of the way out. They went for it. They went all in on the pitching, and it got them, like Zach said, essentially didn't even make the playoffs, really. I mean, they had one chance to get in, and they couldn't do it. They had a four-run lead and couldn't close it out.
So I wanted to ask both you guys, both of you are Angels fans.
Yes.
Now that the Kansas City Royals have won the hearts and minds of fans across America, now you guys have to be the...
Now we have to be the bad guys.
Now you have to be the bad guys who just put them down.
I know. That sucks.
It does. It's hard. It really is.
Yeah, congratulations, Kansas City, and all that, but bring it, motherfuckers.
Here's my thing on it. Okay, I think it's great that the Royals are back in the playoffs,
yeah.
And what I would like to see is I would like to see them really do well in this series, but I don't want them to win it.
I want the Angels to win in four.
If the Angels...
I want the Angels to win these first two games in Anaheim, mostly because I'm going to be at the first one. That'd be very nice to see. I want them to win one game in Kansas City. That's it.
I will say this. If they have to lose, if the Angels have to lose and not make the World Series, then I want it to be to the Royals.
I don't want them to lose.
I don't want them to lose either. But what I'm saying is if the gods of baseball, who the sabermetrics people don't believe in, if the gods of baseball decide to strike down their vengeance upon us, I would prefer it be with the Royals than anybody else.
I would agree only if the Royals win the World Series.
Right. If the Angels don't get in, I want it to be the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Kansas City Royals because,
Would hate that.
Oh, my God. It'd be the best
thing. I'd love
it. I'd love it, too.
Well, no, I know.
I'd watch every inning of that series.
I know.
I'll say that right now.
The people that count the checks and the dollar bills would hate it.
Oh, yeah. You know, ESPN would freak the fuck out.
Well, you know who it's going to be, right? It's going to be Tigers Cardinals.
Of course.
I wouldn't mind that so much because I'm not too I don't hate the Tigers really all that much. So the Tigers won.
I mean, we've seen them, though, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've been unlucky and they lost. I mean, they lost to the Cardinals, what, twice?
Yeah.
And I don't know, but Miguel Cabrera just seems like a soulless Triple Crown winner.
You know, the Tigers team that I saw that win the World Series way back all those years ago was a fun team. This team, they're not fun to me. They're just boring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They've got all the pitching, which is nice, but, you know, I don't know. Justin Verlander's kind of blasé. David Price used to be fun when he was with Tampa, but now I think he's been kind of crushed by the business aspects of baseball when it comes to his personality. I mean, it was just a ticking time bomb is the one he was going to get traded from Tampa.
Yeah, well,
and
that's...
Max Scherzer is, besides having two different colored eyes, that's the only thing I know about. You know?
Again, you want to talk about boring, though. St. Louis Cardinals.
Of the two, I would rather see the Cardinals win. I would. I told you guys
starting
last time.
Starting at first base, Matt. Starting at second base, Craig. Starting at shortstop,
Matt.
Keith.
Starting at
third, Matt.
In left field,
Mark.
Quadruple Jesus.
And catching Yadier Molina.
They are very Cardinals-like, I will say that.
And of course, all of their fans wearing their jerseys tucked into their jean shorts.
Yeah, well. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to make a case for them. All I can say is that I've never hated them, and I've been following baseball for a long time, and I've always thought the Cardinals were kind of cool. So it's hard for me to step off at this point.
I like the Cardinals' uniforms.
Oh, they're great, yeah.
That is – they have fantastic uniforms.
You know what, though? To further your guys' point, I don't know if I could name two guys to start for that team right now. Besides Molina. Okay, Molina. Matt Adams is the first baseman.
Matt Holliday.
Two names into this list, we've already got two Matts.
True.
We've named two Matts and Yadier Molina, just to completely prove the point.
Does Adam Wainwright count?
They've got there's probably a couple of Matts in the bullpen, isn't there? Who's the third baseman? Is it still – it's not David Freese anymore because he came to the Angels and played like shit. Who's their shortstop? God, I don't know any – You guys are right. I mean, I can name some Royals. You got Eric Hosmer. You got Salvador Perez.
I need to look up the Cardinals roster because this is actually bugging me.
You've got Alcides Escobar. You've got Shields.
Arizona Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals.
But that's crazy. I can name like more Royals than I can Cardinals.
Okay. It's the infielders. Matt Adams.
Of course.
Matt Carpenter.
Oh my God, yeah, he was on my fantasy team. How could I, but okay, now we're up to three Matts and Yadier Molina,
Mark Ellis.
Okay, and a Mark.
Greg Garcia.
Never heard of him.
Pete Cosma.
Pete Cosma, I've heard of. Okay.
Johnny Peralta.
Oh yeah, that's right. They traded for him, I think.
Colton Wong.
But listen to that. Though we've had a couple of Matts, a Pete,
a Mark.
Let's see,
a
in
Mark.
The outfield, there's Peter Borges, Randall Grichuk, Matt Holliday,
another Matt,
John Jay.
Oh, John Jay. Okay, now they're starting to come back to me.
Tommy Pham.
Okay, so we've had a couple of Matts, a Pete.
Oscar Tavares.
A Mark. Oscar Tavares, he's stuck with the big league team, huh?
And someone named after the first Chief Justice in the history of the United States. John Jay.
Okay, you guys are right. They are exactly what you say they are. I can't make an argument for them at this point.
And A.J. Pruszynski is a backup catcher, if that makes you want to hate the Cardinals a little bit more.
But I do like how they are playing the Dodgers, because it is a perfect dichotomy in terms of just the attitude of the two teams.
The National League's weird for me with the two series, mm-hmm. because I hope Pittsburgh wins. So if it's Pittsburgh versus Nationals, I'm happy with whoever wins that series.
Mm-hmm.
With Cardinals and Dodgers, I am unhappy with whoever wins that series.
I'm pulling for the Dodgers. They can knock off the scourge of forced, contrived, middle American happiness that is the Cardinals.
The only
and
reason
then after that, the Dodgers can go to hell for all I care, but they just have one job to do.
The only reason I would want the Dodgers to even do well is just for a freeway series. I wouldn't want them to do well in any other context.
It's tougher for me in the American League because I want the Angels first. I don't like the Tigers, and it's hard.
I'd be happy with Baltimore.
Baltimore, yeah. If it's not the Angels, then it's got to be either Baltimore or Kansas City to keep me interested. The National League, one of the two, the Dodgers, one of the two is going to end up getting knocked off. So that gives us a better shot at newer blood in the World Series this year.
Yeah, assuming that the Giants don't win this and the next series.
It's just like last year, guys. It's got potential to give us new blood, but you're probably right. At the end of the day, it's going to be Boston
it's be
and
Cardinals,
St. Louis again.
Cardinals, Giants, and Tigers. Well, whoever wins Angels, Royals hasn't. I mean, the Royals haven't been there in forever, but the Angels haven't even made the playoffs in the last five seasons. So, there's
but
that.
Here's the thing: looking at it realistically, I don't see anybody beating the Angels. I just think they're the best team
in the American League. Yeah, I'd agree.
I don't think they have any trouble with anybody in the National League. Do you?
National
maybe the Nationals, but maybe it's just because I don't know. I just know that the Nationals are good. I don't know exactly what they're good at.
They seem to be
because I don't watch too much National League baseball in the first place, let alone the Nationals themselves.
I've watched them a few times this year, but I don't know enough to really tell you. I know they've got pretty good pitching, and
yeah, I know they got Strasburg and Zimmerman, but I couldn't name their field players besides Bryce Harper.
Okay, let me see if I can do that. Let's see. Their shortstop is Ian Desmond. You got Bryce Harper in the outfield. I think Denard Span's still playing in the outfield. Jason Wirth's in right. The second baseman is, oh God, I should know this.
That's right, Jason Wirth, huh?
First base, is it still Adam LaRoche? And third base is Ryan Zimmerman. And their catcher is one of those guys that, like, the minute you hear his name, you go, yeah, I know who that guy is, but you couldn't name him in a million years if you tried. So I kind of know that much about him. I know they're good, but
right.
Hopefully we get anybody, but I'm even happy with the Giants if it has to be, but I don't hate the Cardinals, but I'm fatigued on them. I don't need to see them in the World Series again. You know, I got my ring. I can go home now. I'm not worried about it anymore.
Yeah.
In the American League.
Honestly, I kind of want to see one of the very many regional options we have. Like, I think L.A. Anaheim would be cool.
Baltimore, Washington.
Baltimore, Washington, yes.
Kansas City, St. Louis would be neat.
Kansas City, St. Louis
that's
would
the
be.
Only, that's the only St. Louis option I like.
Indeed. Kansas City, St.
And of
Louis
course,
would be
with the Royals triumphing.
Yes.
In seven.
Then, and then. And then, of course, but, you know, Oakland, San Francisco is obviously not going to happen now. But, yeah, and any of those three outcomes I'd like.
Even
I don't
Pittsburgh,
know.
Detroit's kind of close.
Pittsburgh, Detroit, they're kind of close, and they're both sort of rundown Rust Belt cities.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, they have the same kind of theme going.
They tried to play up that storyline when the Red Wings and Penguins went back-to-back years playing each other. So I just have to assume because the media told me it's close.
Well,
it's not that close. It's about 400 and some miles, actually. It's not that close at all.
I think Kansas City beating St. Louis would be a great baseball story. But, you know, if that series happened, the Cardinals would win it in four, and it would be, like, just the most depressing thing you've ever seen.
It would be a complete repeat of the last time the Royals made the playoffs. They beat the Cardinals in seven
Pirates.
Games. What happened?
Grand slam.
Oh, Lord.
Brandon Crawford.
Brandon Crawford?
Brandon Crawford with a grand slam home run to right.
Oh, boy. Well, that's not good because now we're kind of like a half a step closer to another one of the new blood teams getting wiped off the map here. That's not good.
Yeah, but, you know, there's still plenty of time, like you said. I mean, the Royals did it. They came back twice. And they did it once in the ninth inning.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
With small ball, too.
Yeah, seven stolen bases in that game last night.
Yeah. Which I thought was hilarious because they started Giovanni Soto specifically for the reason to limit the Royals' base running, and they end up stealing seven bases, four in one inning, which was never been done in the playoffs before.
I tell you what I thought was I don't know if it was gutsy or stupid, and since it's Ned Yost, I'm going to go probably lean more towards stupid. But when that guy stole third last night, because wow, that's so risky. Yeah.
Like you said on the boards, beach ball-sized testicles.
Exactly.
It's risky, but at the same time, I kind of liked it. Like, I said a few months back that I was kind of doing a lot of reading into the dead ball era in Major League Baseball, and stuff like small ball just kind of harkens back to that in a way, and I don't know. Like, part of me liked it. Like, it's something that you don't see a lot of anymore, and I appreciated seeing it coming back.
And if they didn't do it, they were going to lose. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if he went on his own or if they called that. I never bothered to check to see.
I think they called that.
Wow.
Yeah, that was called.
Well, that dude could fly. I mean, I'll give him that. And you got to think too that Oakland's thinking not in a million years, especially when they're down a run. Does he try to steal third? They're thinking there's just no way. I mean, it's just it's such a bad play odds wise to do that.
Yeah.
But I just don't know what to make of this A's team. I mean, not just this year, but overall,
it's kind of the same thing we said about the Sharks. You know, at this point, it's like congratulations, you can get done the regular season, but whatever the system is, whatever the attitude is, whatever Bill Beane's doing, it's not working. Like, right. At the end of the day, it's not working.
And it's kind of like we talked about. Like, you can just, or I guess objectively and statistically, make a very good regular season roster. Because you have numbers, and that's all very quantifiable, and you can organize the team that way. But as you've seen with these A's over the Billy Beane era and the Sharks, sometimes you just need to find the intangibles.
Right.
You know? And you can't. They're intangible. You can't see them. You can't measure them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you either have it or you don't. And the Oakland A's, for whatever reason, I mean, and it's not like this is the same. It's not like it's a shark situation where it's the same core of guys.
Yeah, that's
over
true.
And over again. They change guys all the time, end up with the same results. Which
speaks to me that it's the problem of Beane more than it's anything else, because he's the consistent factor in all of this.
Well, you know, here's a question. You've got these guys, you know, the mantra with Moneyball, and not Moneyball so much. Moneyball is about – see, that's another thing, too, that kind of drives me nuts a little bit, is they call sabermetrics Moneyball. It's kind of – Moneyball capitalizing on market inequities or whatever you want to say.
Right. Which everyone does.
Everyone does now. But – With the sabermetrics, it's all about, you know, take pitches, get on base, this and that. That's all well and good. But how many times in my life in the World Series, I've seen guys like Gene Tennis, and I'm going way back here, the 1972 A's. Guy was a 220 hitter, couldn't hit water if he fell out of a fucking boat. Shows up in the World Series, smacks two home runs, gets the MVP. Something,
Or like a few years back when the Texas Rangers were one strike away from winning the World Series. And who was it for the Cardinals?
It was David Freese, wasn't it?
Yeah. And what did he done that postseason?
I don't honestly remember.
Not a lot.
But yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I just think that maybe there's a mindset with the get on base, take pitches guys. They're not used to having to try to go up there and get something done on just sheer will. It's hard to walk your way back or you know, get on base your way back from a four-run deficit or whatever if that's the approach you're taking. I don't know. I could be way off base with this, but I just think that, like you said, Zach, there's a point where you may not believe in it. And I played baseball long enough to know to tell you that clutch absolutely exists. Every team I played on, there were guys that you're like, you know what? We get into the seventh, eighth inning. I don't want that guy coming to bat because he's going to flip out and shit his pants, and that's going to be it. And I just – you can't tell me that doesn't exist in Major League Baseball, too. There's just guys that you want in that spot and guys that you don't. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the A's have any of those guys. Maybe Cespedes, but you know what? He's
they
a Red Sox now.
They set him off.
You know, everybody talks about, oh, his numbers weren't that great, and look at his OPS and all this other shit. Yeah, well, look at their record since he left. That's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Quit telling me what I'm seeing on the field isn't actually happening, because that's just nonsense. This isn't magic we're looking at here. It's not an illusion. But anyway.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't care whether the A's really fix themselves or not.
I don't either. I just love...
Again, the movie that glorifies all of this was about the team that lost in the... Like, they didn't even win anything.
I know. I know. It's just so funny to keep bringing it up.
But, you know, the thing about that movie...
Somebody will make a movie about the Sharks one day. Puck.
About how they heroically blew that commanding lead over the Los Angeles Kings.
I wanted to bring this up. There was the FCC was talking about this today, or something with the name of the Washington franchise.
Yes.
And they're talking about
Washington Professional Football Club,
right? And they're talking about fining people. Well, I'm just going to say it. They're talking about fining people or broadcasts for saying Redskins on the air as kind of a move to get them to change the name. What do you guys think of that?
I heard an interesting point on Around the Horn today. There isn't similar legislations in place for the N-word. So them doing this would be just singling out the NFL team. It wouldn't be to cut down on racism across the country. It would be to purposely target this particular instance.
I think their heart is in the right place, but this is the first.
You can't do it.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
It sets a horrible precedent.
Right.
If it happens.
For free speech,
yeah,
really, is kind of what it boils down to.
Yeah, they've just got to step away from this and go, wow, this was a bad idea. We're sorry we even brought it up. And
if there's not similar legislation on the books for things like the N-word, then I don't think they have much of a leg to stand on. Now, if there is a piece of legislation passed that includes fines for all types of slurs and Redskins is included in that, then that's one thing. But if it's just – if there isn't equality across the racial slur spectrum, if you will, then I don't think that they can – justifiably do it.
See, I don't like it even if they cover every slur you can think of, because I would rather make the choice not to use the word Redskins myself than have it be forced upon me like that.
Because the other thing with that is, how do you define a slur?
Devil's advocate, if you ask me how do I define a slur, I'd just say the dictionary.
Well, that's a good point.
Okay, but there were certain things that people wouldn't even consider slurs up until maybe, you know, even two, three years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And people can make up new slurs all the time, and people wouldn't know what it meant necessarily.
Yeah, not only that, but context is everything. I mean, you don't want to find people because they go on and go, look, I think the Washington Redskins is a terrible name. You know, and then it becomes like this whole gray area of like, okay, what was the intent? What's the context? It's better just to leave it be.
Right, because the argument there too is the team name isn't calling Native Americans Redskins. They're not saying, you Redskin. Like, it's a thing, I guess. I don't ever want to defend the thing. But.
No, I'm not either. But it's a bigger issue than just that name. It's like you said,
context.
Not only that, but it just sets a horrible precedent. Even if you go with every slur you can think of, it's still just a thing that you've got to kind of leave it alone.
Yeah.
And hopefully the easiest way to solve all this is for Dan Snyder to quit being a flaming douchebag and just change the fucking name and let's move forward.
On that front, I did see that South Park episode.
Did you?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's fantastic. Dan Snyder's last stand against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. did you either of you by chance catch the Daily Show report on?
Yes, I did.
That was
the one where they brought the Native Americans into the room with the fans?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, and the thing that's interesting is the Native Americans they actually got, they're part of a sketch comedy group.
Okay.
That are made up completely of Native Americans. So it was kind of unfair to the fans, but at the same time, the things that the fans were saying was...
Well, the thing that caught me about that was that they talked... the fans...
What am I going to pass down to my kids?
Well, the fans, one of the things that they said in an interview afterwards was someone asked, like, had the Daily Show been up front and had they said that you would be talking to actual Native Americans, would you still have agreed to go on? They all said yes. So.
Right. They would have said yes, but they would have said other things.
They said we would have said other things. And then someone said, one of them said, like, if I knew that Native Americans would be there, I wouldn't have worn my Redskins jacket.
Right.
And it's like,
right.
Well,
I think that was the black guy that said.
Well, he was the only guy wearing a Redskins jacket. So.
Well, no, one guy was wearing his Redskins jersey with like a big championship belt.
It was like a WWF championship belt. It's like Redskins across. Like, why?
And then
when he's talking to the people out front of the game.
Yeah.
It's like, but what would you say to people who – what would you say to Native Americans who say that the name is offensive? Well, am I not someone born in this country? Am I not a Native American?
Like, yeah.
No.
It's just – I don't know. Part of me is just, you know, like I said, Snyder just needs to change the name and let's move on. And there's – I got to admit, there's starting to be a small part of me that's like, oh, for God's sakes, let's just – fuck it. Who cares? You know? I mean, I hate to say that I'm like throwing in the towel on it, but I just don't know that it's worth all the effort at this point.
Well, I think at this point, I think honestly the writing's on the wall. I don't see how the name stays around that much longer. It just due to the fact, okay, as far as I can remember, and I know it's been going on before, but just from my personal memory – I've heard stories about how the Washington Redskins need to change their name dating back to 2001. And that was when the last court case was sort of decided. And since then, so that's 13 years, I've seen this issue pop up from time to time, and it's always disappeared.
Yeah.
But it hasn't this time.
Right.
And we all thought that maybe the start of the season would cause it to disappear because then people would start just, you know, talking about football. And maybe it's just a side effect of the fact that the NFL season has gone horrible for them.
By the way, welcome to Breast Cancer Awareness Month, guys.
Oh, yippee.
The pink starts on tomorrow.
That'll be that.
But you know what? This is the funny thing, is that they haven't really done anything. The NFL hasn't to kind of address any of this. And it's maybe it's just me. I'm not following this closely.
I saw a domestic violence PSA.
Monday night. Yeah, so did I. And I thought, well, this is great. It would have been even better if it had happened last season.
Was it Roger Goodell? Like, just robotically?
No, they got a bunch of celebrities to... And it was mostly, there was a good chunk of the cast from Law & Order SVU to speak out against domestic violence.
It would have been great if they just had a clip from that Goodell press conference where he goes, "We can do better," and then it just like plays some inspirational music, and it's like the NFL.
But don't you think it's starting to die down though? I mean, I
think it's only died down just due to the fact that the major stories, you know, that have been dealt with.
You can't be that ramped up on something for that long.
Either. Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that this is a cycle that all major news stories happen. There is the initial incident or incidents in this case. Then there is, you know, the discussion, and then there's the lull, and then there's the resolution. We've seen, so the incidents, we saw the Ray Rice video, Adrian Peterson with his thing, Greg Hardy, you know, that became a story. And now we've gotten to the point where all of their – where we've gotten past the initial story portion, and now we're in the part where the legal procedures are going to play out. And so I think it's natural that the discussion is going to die down until those legal procedures conclude. I mean, if Adrian Peterson is found guilty of child abuse in a court of law, then – all eyes go back to the Vikings. They've currently placed him on that commissioner's list that bans him.
Yeah, but
he'll get some paid.
How awesome is it though that it's called the commissioner's list? You know,
but I think it's going to be
the new movie directed by Steven Spielberg, Commissioner's List,
Goodell's List, Daniel Day-Lewis as Roger Goodell, and you know he'd throw himself into it too.
I lived as a sports commissioner for a full year.
Ladies and gentlemen, Zach's Tabs.
Zach's Tabs!
Very nice.
Thank you.
So, in the world of Jerseydom, the Tampa Bay Lightning unveiled a brand new, quote-unquote new-ish, third jersey.
Well, when you say Jerseydom, I think dumb is the operative part of that
yeah.
term.
If you remember the previous Lightning third jersey, it was blue. It had kind of a modern template. It said bolts across the front.
It was actually very nice, aside from the bolts.
Yeah, if you took the bolts off and put the regular logo on, that would have been a fair jersey for them to go forward with. But yeah. they, of course, became the Detroit Maple Lightning and went on to this. But fans were clamoring for the black to return to the Tampa Bay color scheme. So they unveiled a black jersey on Saturday. After, by the way, did you see the fake jersey that they released?
Oh, the palm trees and the stripes?
Yeah. they showed it to all the players like, hey, this is our new third jersey. And it's basically the regular one with some extra black stripes and then palm trees all along the stripes. So it kind of looks like a Christmas sweater almost. It was actually better than what they unveiled, I thought.
I Steven Stamkos' reaction was the best. He's like, I don't know, like, I kind of like the palm trees.
I haven't seen that one. Somebody link me that. I have not seen that.
It's quality. I'll link it in a minute. But so they did unveil the actual one, and much to our chagrin, they decided to copy another, I guess, quote-unquote successful franchise. And now they're the Tampa Bay Light Kings.
Cool.
Yeah.
Black jersey with two white stripes down the shoulders, and instead it says bolts across the front again.
It's basically the Kings home jerseys.
Yeah, it makes no sense because it's black with white stripes, but then the collar is blue.
Right.
The pants are black with a blue lightning bolt outlined in white, which I actually like the pants and the socks.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a good blue-black balance.
Mm-hmm.
But the jersey is just
– well, the jersey looks odd because – okay. And on the numbers, this is particularly infuriating. The numbers are white numbers.
Yes.
It's got a silver outline, and it's got a blue outline on black. The problem is that they use a dark shade of royal.
Yeah.
So that royal against black, you can't see it. It's standard.
It's just an outline. It's not like a thick stripe or anything.
Exactly. The Lightning, a color balance 101 says you have the white numbers with a blue outline on silver so that everything pops against the black. But they did not do that.
No.
And again, aside from that blue collar, this jersey is essentially the Kings home sweater. So now you have their
without
home
the stripes.
Throw.
Without the
Pardon?
Arm stripes. Without
they
the arm stripes.
Slightly
no
different.
Arm stripes.
But not,
yeah.
Not really.
There's not. I mean, and I like the what do you call them? The Tampa Bay Maple Lightnings or something like that, or Red.
The Detroit Maple Lightning.
Detroit Maple Lightnings. Yeah, I like that look, but this one is just bad.
Mm-hmm.
But
and the bolts across is just such a minor league move. Like you're the Lightning. If you're going to commit to the Rangers style diagonal name across it, then use your full name.
I agree with that. I did see the fake out jersey, and I like it better.
Yeah, I know, right? It's interesting, at least.
Yeah,
is it the palm trees?
Yeah.
I mean, the if they wanted to just make a black jersey, they could have just made a black version of their regular jersey.
Right, the flash
jersey.
It would
have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they seem attached to that Bolts Ward mark
because once they change to the new identity, the font that they use for Bolts doesn't fit in with anything.
Yeah, I know. It fit in with the last logo set, but
yeah, sort
not the current one.
Wow, there is supposed to be a blue outline on that jersey, huh?
Yeah,
numbers, right?
Man, you can hardly see it. You can't even
Might
tell
as well
it's
just
there.
Black and white.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's awful.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good at all.
The Lightning, they rip off the Maple Leafs and the Red Wings for their primaries and then say, hey, that Kings team won the Stanley Cup. Let's
Yeah, but you know
Let's
what
rip
they,
them off.
They ripped off the Maple Leafs and the Red Wings, but they did a good job of it. I mean, it's a good look. It's completely derivative. There's no question about it. But at least it looks okay.
Mm. Fine, good.
I don't mind it, but I've always liked the Flash, so I'm kind of partial to it.
Every week, Deadspin does a mailbag, right? One of their readers sent in a question asking if they could give the list of the most Midwestern states and rank them.
Like, what state is the most Midwestern?
Yes. Not necessarily by location, but by culture.
I'm going to go with Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana's got to be.
Indiana was number four.
Really?
Yes.
Because I always thought that Indiana was the most Midwestern state and that Indianapolis was the most Midwestern city of the Midwest.
Well, yeah, let's back up. What are we considering as the Midwest here? Because there are definitions.
They have 12 states in the Midwest.
All right, let's see what the states are.
I'm just going to read them in order.
Yeah, don't tell me. We don't have to give us the rankings. Just tell us what states are involved here because that changes everything.
Okay, well, I'll be able to do it geographically. I'll start east to west.
Okay.
Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota.
Nope.
Kansas.
Nope.
Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa.
Nope. Iowa, yes. Missouri, maybe. The rest of them, but
He said, please note, I have included the Plain States, even though I think the Plain States have their own distinct brand.
Yeah. To me, the furthest west the Midwest goes is Minnesota.
Yeah, and that you could make an argument that Minnesota is kind of its own thing. It's not. I don't really consider it.
You could, but I kind of consider.
Yeah.
I kind like it's like the fringes of the Midwest.
Right. Yeah. I think that Iowa you could throw in there, but North and South Dakota, no way.
I'm going to guess that Wisconsin actually is number one.
Yeah.
Wisconsin is number one.
Okay.
They have the girth, they have the fried foodstuffs, and they have the accent. Plus, they aren't as stuffy as Minnesotans are. Minnesota is famous for lakes. Wisconsin is famous for cheese. Cheese is way more Midwestern than lakes.
Okay,
I don't know. There are a lot of lakes in the Midwest.
Yeah, there are. Let me see. Number two you said Indiana was fourth.
Yeah.
So number two, I'm going to go with Illinois.
Illinois is number eight.
Really?
Chicago makes Illinois way cooler than any other Midwest state. Should we airlift Chicago and put it down somewhere better than an Arctic wind farm? if you took Chicago away and left the geez guys parts of the state, Illinois would rank way higher.
I'm going to say number two.
Ohio?
Is Ohio, yeah.
Ohio is number 12.
Hey, really? Good for us. Way to go.
Like Pennsylvania, Ohio is its own batshit crazy thing. I don't even think Ohio is being American. I don't want to get any Ohio on me.
Oh, well, you know what? That guy can go fuck himself.
by any chance, was this written by Dick Valentine, the lead singer of Electric Six?
No.
Because they have a song called Escape from Ohio.
Was it written by someone from New Jersey by chance?
Written by somebody from Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah.
No, fuck them too.
Okay.
Minnesota is number two in his eyes.
Minnesota
number three
is number two.
Iowa. It's all made of corn, right?
Pretty much.
Four is Indiana. Five, North Dakota. Of the two Dakotas, North Dakota is way more Midwestern. South Dakota has the Badlands and gold mines and all kinds of Western frontier
Sturgis.
Stuff.
Yeah.
North Dakota just says Tom Brokaw. Number six is Nebraska.
I don't consider him a Nebraska part of the Midwest.
Nebraska
He says, I grew up in the old Big Ten, so I don't really accept Nebraska as real part of the Midwest, even though people here are stoic enough and boring enough to qualify. number seven is Michigan. Detroit kind of cancels out the more Midwestern parts of the state, which is too bad because I maintain that the Michigan is underrated as far as horrible Midwestern accents go.
There's no such thing as a Midwestern accent. It's just it's like accent-free English is what it is.
No, the only one is Wisconsin because they got the Badgers.
Right. Well, yeah,
Wisconsin,
Minnesota.
And then Minnesotans sound Canadian, and that's
Minnesota's
pretty much it.
Minnesota's got the Gophers, and they really like that, so... number eight was Illinois. Number nine, Kansas. Not the Midwest. It's just crazy Oklahoma-type people, which I would agree with.
Okay.
Number 10, South Dakota. number 11, Missouri. Also not the Midwest. It's the South now. They've shot enough unarmed minorities to qualify. And then number 12 is Ohio.
Well, we finished dead last, which I'm proud of, but I guess the reasoning for it is pretty good, too. It is – Ohio is kind of a thing unto itself. I have to agree.
I would have ranked Ohio higher, and I would have – a lot of those states I wouldn't have included, like Kansas, Nebraska, the Dakotas.
Yeah.
Those aren't Midwest. Oh, I wouldn't even put Iowa in there.
Yeah, see, and I think Pennsylvania is part of the Midwest, at least from probably Scranton, Wilkes-Barre on left, you know?
No, I wouldn't put – Pennsylvania Midwest.
Like, you've been there?
I've been to parts.
Dude, Pittsburgh is as Midwest as it gets. I mean, it really is. I would say that half
it's,
of...
It's,
Half of Pennsylvania is part of the Midwest. The eastern part with Philly and all that, that's all New Jersey. And
I guess that's because I've been to that part of Pennsylvania.
I've been to not all parts of it, but enough of it to know that it's very Midwestern. Once you get out of the Philly area, it's very Midwestern.
Do you want to claim the Amish parts?
We have Amish Midwestern here.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
We have
the
Mennonites
slow for horse and buggy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mennonites here.
I'll tell you what. The next time I'm out on my bike, I'll take a camera. I'll take a picture and show you. We've got all sorts.
Oh, but they'll die on the spot because you just captured their souls.
They won't know. They won't see me. I'll be stealth about it. I'll go undercover, covert photography operation there.
Yeah, we've got Mennonites here. Mennonites are basically like the Amish, but they accept some modern amenities. So every now and then, if you're just at like a Walmart here, you'll see a bunch of Mennonites dressed up like Amish just going through Walmart.
I don't know about up there, but the Mennonites here are wild because they have the clothing, right?
Yeah.
But like you'll see them, and like especially the women, they'll have their plain Amish dresses on, the little bonnets, rocking a pair of Oakley sunglasses and Nike Shox sneakers. I swear to God.
I've seen that a few times. It's interesting.
Yeah. It's like if you're gonna do that, just go all the way. I mean, why not?
I mean, I kind of appreciate it because it's like I can recognize the idea of wanting to stay true to the core of your religious principles, but, you know, kind of jettisoning the more crazy aspects of it.
Yeah.
Just being like, you know what? Yeah, most of this I'm good with, but you know what? I just want me some Oakleys.
And comfortable shoes.
And comfortable shoes, yeah.
But yeah, Zach, every Saturday, I think it is, they have there's a town about, I don't know, 20 miles east of me called Ashland. And every Saturday they have this little farmer's market there in a parking lot in downtown. And you go in and there's all sorts of horses and buggies and the Amish selling their wares every weekend in Ashland.
Their wares.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, they make some great baked goods, believe me. Incredible stuff. Anyway, go ahead. What's next?
Well, next, I just wanted to point out the Giants are now up 8-0.
Yeah, it's done.
And they're just showing shots of sad Pirates fans all
over. I know.
Oh, no.
Sad Pirates fans are sad.
I just saw the hand and face guy. Yeah.
This is baseball's problem, is that we can have something that could legitimately qualifies as a classic one night.
Yep.
And then the next night, it's just this. I think someone called it on the board.
Andy did. He said, yeah. Watch, tomorrow night's game will be a 13-0 blowout. And I said, that's just the way baseball works.
And it's going to be like a 13-0 blowout, and the final shot's going to be a bunch of Giants high-fiving each other in front of a sad PNC Park, and that's what's going to happen.
Pretty much.
But staying with baseball, we thought that the Derek Jeter retirement tour...
Oh, God!
...couldn't have gotten any worse.
God!
Then he went to Boston.
I hope someone threw a battery at him.
Well...
A car battery.
They got to Saturday or Sunday. I don't know which day this was. And they had a big presentation for him.
Oh, jeez.
Where they brought out – they gave him like a sign. Like they put up on the Fenway Park scoreboard, you know, respect to Derek Jeter, and the two was a number two.
Oh, yeah. That's witty.
And then the Red Sox brought out a Aretha Franklin impersonator to sing – respect.
Oh, for God's sake.
All the Red Sox are on the field, and Derek Jeter's in the middle of the circle of Red Sox greats and current players.
God damn it. Red Sox, okay, I hate your team, but this was the one time you could have done something positive for the game of baseball, and I almost vomited. I almost vomited seeing that, like, the last ever at-bat for Derek Jeter in Yankee Stadium as a walk-off single. Like, oh, my God.
You know, the thing that aggravates me the most about this is Boston fans trying to show how classy they are. I mean, you talk about Cardinals fans, screw
second
that.
Second best fans in baseball.
Yeah. Screw the Red Sox. And all.
I mean, come on, if you're – be true to the Reds – to be true to who you are, Red Sox.
Boo him. Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing, too.
Be like good riddance to bad rubbish or something.
This is the best part about this is that they did all this, and no one gives a fuck because guess what? You're irrelevant this year, both teams, so screw both of you. Any final thoughts, guys?
Well, the Pirates are threatening to score. Two outs, two men on, first and third, bottom of the eighth. I smell a comeback.
Hey, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I don't feel this one though. So,
no, I don't either.
So I guess we'll be rooting for the Nationals.
Looks that way.
Yeah.
Yep. Yo, anyone who's not the Giants or the Cardinals, because I'm sick of those two teams.
Go Angels, go Orioles.
Boo. Go Orioles.
Yeah, go. I'm with you with the Orioles. Yeah. Go Nats.
and go meteorite.
Well, see, now you know what it was like for me last season when I had to watch an NHL playoff series between Boston and Detroit.
I guess go Dodgers.
The Nationals are team justice at this point.
Who do they play in the first round again?
They were
going to
play the Giants.
Okay.
At least the Giants just stay on the West or the East Coast. They don't have to go anywhere.
That's true. Go Nats. All right,
go Nats. I'd like to see the Nats do well.
Nats Angels World Series. Goodbye, me.
Viva la Espos.
All right, we're going to call it a night. We will see you all next time.
Later.
See ya.
What do you want from life? To kidnap an heiress or threaten her with a knife? What do you want from life? To get cable TV and watch it every night? You met tonight. How can you tell when you're doing all right? Does your bank account swell while you're dreaming at night? How do you know when you're really in love? Do violins play when you're touching the one that you're loving?
Holding an apple.
Please hang up and try again.